Hi, welcome to the podcast that explores what virtual assistants want business owners to know when they start asking themselves the question, hey, do I need a VA? I'm Rachel Davila, and after 18 years as a virtual assistant going it alone, I experienced the steep learning curve from the other side of the VA client relationship when I hired my own assistant. Joining me on this podcast is a group of friends and colleagues who all have their own take on what busy entrepreneurs need to know to find, hire, and work with a virtual assistant and mindfully answer the question, hey, do I need a VA? Let's get this episode started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. We're in season two, and today is episode number 9. And we're going to talk about depend on versus dependent on your virtual assistant. And what that means for me is when I went on vacation a couple of years ago, I left my computer at home. I didn't do any work and I had notified all my clients. And when I came back to a slew of emails in panic mode because the client experienced something that I wasn't there to handle. And so it made me realize the difference between being dependable and having a client be dependent on me. So for definition's sake, to depend on someone means to trust that person, will do what you want or expect. To be dependent on someone means you need that person all the time, especially in order to continue existing or operating. The distinction being the belief in someone's ability to meet your expectations versus your reliance on that person. So that's what we're going to talk about today. A business owner should always be able to step back into their work and power through in the event that their VA's absence or incapacitation kind of derails things. How do you guys share with your clients about being depended on and dependable?
I can go first. So one of the things that I make sure my clients know is what software I'm using, and hopefully they can learn it or at least feel like they can go in and play with it. I also make sure they have all the links. When I onboard a client, I'm also very clear that it's their IP, it's their information, not mine. I'm only using it to make their business better. So when I'm doing things with them, I make sure they have links to everything and they can get to everything. And I'm constantly asking, you want me to talk you through it, that kind of stuff. I just had a client say, can you show me how to upload my videos onto YouTube and then put it on my website? Impressive, because it's a client that's not necessarily tech savvy, but they were willing to learn it because they didn't want to be dependent on me. And I find that refreshing, because I'm like, oh, wow, if I disappeared, I know some clients that might have a problem if they needed to step back in. So, Rachel, ever since you started talking about it again, I'm like, oh, yeah, need to go back through. Let's talk to people. Let's remind them it's not my business. It's their business. And let's make sure that they at least feel like they can survive if I'm not around.
Yeah. And that really is the point, right? I mean, they got into business. They got themselves to a point that they needed the help that we provide. But if something were to happen to us, they still need to be able to run and manage their business.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything everyone said. I think that there are some clients, kind of like Leanne was saying, that are less tech savvy than others. And so there are some that, you know, aren't as well versed in like what I'm necessarily doing. And I don't think that's a problem if they're willing to learn if I need to step back. I think there are some clients that's like, well, I don't know how to do social media. Like, I don't know how to do Instagram and Facebook. And it's like, okay, well, I can help walk you through it. But in the end, it's not going to be me making your account. You know, I can post the social media, I can do the hashtags and all of this. But I think to a certain extent, I can't respond to the people who comment on your stuff. You know, like there has to be some presence there.
Yeah, I agree. I always try to make sure that accounts we set up are always made not under us, like they're always made under the client's name and login information, and that everything always belongs to them. So like if we're trying to do storage things, if I do store files or assets that we're creating, we might have a backup on ours, but I try to make sure it's also stored somewhere that's theirs, like their Google Drive or something like that. I find that working in cloud-based programs and stuff makes that a lot easier as well for being able to transition back and forth. And with clients that are wanting to learn and things like that, some of the things that we'll do is we'll make like a reference document that is basically like a catalog of all the things that we do. And we'll do training videos and written instructions and things like that so that they have a place that they can go if they can't quite remember or they're not in there. Like I know even for myself, like I built my website ages ago and I have a little thing going on with it now. And I'm like, I can't remember how I did that. Like that was years ago now, right? So now trying to remember that, like I feel like it's the same for them, right? So if they're not in it all the time, maybe they did know how to post YouTube videos at one point, but they haven't had to do it in a while because we've been doing that for them. Having those reminder videos and stuff, even just to kind of get them going, helps. And being aware that some people are more visual and more some people are more like they have an easier time with the written. So what I'll even do is take that transcript from that video and make it into written instructions so that they have both options. And then if they need to hand it off to somebody else while we're out, then that's also a possibility and makes it easier for them. With us being a team, that also is a little bit different because if like when I got sick with COVID, my team jumped in and just took over everything. So that was a little bit of a different aspect there. So if I go on vacation or one of our team members goes on vacation, we have other people there and we capture those processes and things in the background so that if they're gone, we can jump in and be like, oh, you decide to do another podcast. Cool. We can jump in and do that for you or things like that. So we also have that as a backup on what we do with how we do things as well.
So Brie brought up a good point. She already has a team to back her up in case of illness or vacation. One of the things that I learned quite late in my business was what happens when I'm out. And it wasn't just going on vacation, because that's something that I can communicate in advance. I can prep clients and get projects done so that there is less of emergencies that come up. But one of my very good friends is the living planner, and she was talking about business contingency plans. Who tells my clients if something happens to me? Who can step in for me as a solopreneur who may not be familiar with the clients or what they do and how they do things? So I added into my contract who my backup VAs are, and both of them have the skill sets to pretty much take on anything that I do in the event that I can't do it. And I have a document for my family of who to call, what to tell them, and everything. And then my backup VAs have that same document with my client information so that they can at least call and be like, Rachel's out for X amount. Is there anything that I can help with? Or do you want to manage it while she's gone, kind of thing? And I think, and then I communicated that to my clients because it wasn't in the original contract that any of them signed. But I feel better knowing that I've got backups who can at least tell my clients, you're on your own, kid. Take it from here, or to say, I'm here to help if you need it. That was a huge, like, aha moment, because it's not just if you go on vacation. What if you get sick with COVID and your brain is fogged over and you can't think for 2 weeks, right? Or what if it's something worse, knock on wood, doesn't happen, but, you know, I'm getting older, so, you know, the chances of something happening is getting there. But we talked a lot about like creating the standards and procedures, those documents that dictate how you do things and everything. And so I've been working to create those for clients because it's all up here. And I don't know if, I mean, for most of them, they could step back in. The processes aren't that difficult. They just rely on me a little bit more. But we've also talked about creating those SOPs so that, one, that they can hand it off to me and I can do it. But also, if somebody else were to step in, like Leanne or Brie or Sydney, they could go, well, I'm not going to do it exactly like Rachel does it, but at least I have a general outline for it. So that could be something that you, as a potential client, ask a VA when you're interviewing them or if you decide to work with them. What is their backup plan? Do they have someone that could step in case of emergency? And if you're a VA listening to this, which I've been hearing we have some of those, so hi. If you don't have a backup VA, then you might consider who might back you up and have systems in place for them to know and your family to share that information. Another thing is to, you know, Leanne touched on this about having a working knowledge of the programs and things that you use most in your business. Now, for some people, that could be a huge list of things. And for others, it could be, I post to Facebook. And that might be enough. But having even a working knowledge of how to get into the accounts and everything could be very valuable. And like Brie said, there are videos all over the place. Thank you, YouTube. Right? If you don't have a tech-savvy VA to walk you through it and teach you how to do it. And Brie, you also talked about using web-based options so that some of those transitions are seamless. Are there anything else that you guys can think about that can help a potential client not be so dependent on their VA?
What another thing that we kind of, what I love to try and do is always to have enough buffer to count, like cover any time. So like if somebody has a death in the family or something like that. Like I like to have 2 weeks to even a month ahead of time as much as we can. I mean, things come up and that doesn't always happen, but the more buffer that we can build out into things, the easier things are to kind of like, you have time to regroup, you have time to figure things out. If you have to pull somebody in, you have time to get them on the next page or whatever to kind of handle those situations. If you're built out enough and you're not always working in urgency, that's like a big one for me that I always try to work with clients on building that buffer piece out, whether it's with their social media or their newsletters or their course launches or whatever, like how much can we do ahead of time before we're doing those things?
Working to emergencies is not good for clients or VAs. So many problems arise when you wait till the last minute. So yes, if you can create that buffer, that is absolutely beneficial for everyone. Leanne, is there any technical things?
The biggest one is making sure you can get into your accounts, because really you can go back to Rachel's database of VAs and find someone to replace your VA if something happens. But if you can't get into your accounts, you can't continue. So I always ask my clients to, instead of handing me their passwords, which is definitely a no-no, but making me as a delegate or an admin or whatever the software happens to call it, so that I have my own username and password and they still keep their own. That way, if they're changing it, they have record of changing it, or at least hopefully their computer has record that they changed their password, versus me changing it and then they have no idea how to get into their accounts. Yes, you can always request a forgot password and all that other stuff. But if you don't even know what your accounts are or how to get into them, you have some problems, and you really do need to have at least that much documented as a business owner and then as a VA that you can, you know, say, hey, this is what my client uses.
So I would, before we wrap up, I would like to kind of go back to the depend on piece of it. So for me, that means being dependable. That means building trust and having that knowledge that I do know that my VA knows what I want and what I expect, and I trust that they are going to implement that and make it happen. What are some tips to build on that trust?
Communication. You got to talk to your client. Everything can be worked out if you talk it through. And then obviously show up and do the work. I mean, that's the trust part. But really, if your client thinks you're doing one thing and you think you're doing another, it doesn't matter how trustworthy you are. You guys aren't communicating.
Yeah, I agree. And like having regular communications, like bi-weekly meetings or weekly meetings or whatever. And even if they're just like a 30-minute check-in to make sure everybody's on the right page or catch those things as they come up, it's easier to kind of figure those out earlier on and on a regular basis. And I find having those meetings also keeps the momentum going. When there's longer spaces, like even at a monthly, I find that sometimes the momentum drops off because everybody, like the things you talked about get kind of gone to the wind, or you kind of lose track of them or whatever else. So I find like even 2 weeks, even just a half hour makes a huge difference.
I agree. And I think we've talked a lot about how to build that relationship between a client and a VA. And I think for a client, it can be hard to give away the things that they once had control over. But I think a lot of what we've been saying is to start small, and that it doesn't have to be a big thing that you hand off at first. It can be something small, but that takes a weight off your shoulders. It's important for a client to remember that they can always take something back if they want to take it back, but that there's a person that they've hired that they can give to. And so I think it is a balance between, you know, not just giving over everything and not knowing what your VA is doing versus, you know, not giving anything and then having a VA that's like, that's ready for work. So I think it is a balance.
Yeah. There is a fine line too. I mean, there's a lot of things that I've handed off that I don't want back. So please, VAs, all my VAs, please stay healthy. Please stick around because I don't want to take it back. I don't want to learn podcast management. So Sydney, stick around, please. You know, but having just handed off my social media to my VA team, I'm like, why didn't I do this sooner? And part of it was I wasn't ready. It wasn't that I didn't trust them. It was like, well, I can still do this. It's still mine to control. And I don't want to control it anymore because I got other things brewing in the brain that require that time and attention. So I think once you kind of get to that point, I think if you've built the trust and you feel like you can depend on your VA, then you'll naturally kind of go, oh, I can do that now. I can hand that off. I can trust that they're going to take it and run with it. And even if it looks a little different than I would do it, it's going to get done. And that's really all that matters. And I'm not going to have egg on my face and look dumb. It's going to look like me. Okay. Well, a little bit of housekeeping. This is the second to last episode of season 2. Come back next week for our final episode of season 2. We will be back for season 3. We've already talked about it. We've got lots of ideas. So if you have any questions about this topic or anything else we've covered so far, please send us an email at heyvapodcast@gmail.com. You can reach us on any one of our links using our link tree in the show notes. And we will see you next week. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a like, comment, or review. And feel free to join our Facebook group, Find, Hire, and Work with a VA, for more tips and tools. If you have any questions, please email them to heyvapodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.